Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Crockett students taking part in mariachi workshop. Crockett mariachi students are among the youngest taking part in a three-day mariachi workshop in Midland this week. Francisco Carrion, the mariachi instructor at Crockett, organizes the event for the Hispanic Cultural Center in Midland. Noche de Mariachi concert is May 15th at the Midland County Horseshoe Pavilion. The student concert is at 6:30 and the March Los Viajeros is at 7:30 p.m. Cost is $20 for adults and $10 for children 12 and under. Carrion urges the community to come out and support the students on those nights. He started in the workshops when he was a student about 17 or 18 years ago. It still exists, and now I work for the Hispanic Cultural Center at Midland organizing this event. About 250 students will participate, including 25 students from Crockett. There will also be students from Midland, El Paso, and San Angelo. Crockett, a middle school from El Paso, and Goddard Junior High in Midland will take part. The event is part concert and part learning opportunity. What we do is bring down about 13 instructors from all over the state of Texas, some instructors from New Mexico, Arizona, etc. Those students take 3 days of classes with all these instructors, and for instance, at the amphitheater at the Horseshoe Arena, there will be a student showcase where each school is going to play individual songs. Then it will close off with the UTPB Mariachi, and then Wednesday is the grand finale. All the students will get on stage and perform all the songs that they learned throughout these days. Then after that, the instructors go up and do a grand finale for the community, Carrion said. He added that it's extremely important to start teaching the students about the culture and the music when they're young. For this conference, he said, he focuses more on the educational aspect for the students. I bring them actual classroom teachers, instructors to come teach them. We don't really want to focus on the competition thing. We want all of the students to support each other when they all perform, he said. STEM Academy students honored Monday. Juniors in the biomed engineering and computer programming pathways at STEM Academy were lauded Monday in a special program at the University of Texas Permian Basin Gym. Community partners who provided internships for the students also were recognized. Project Lead the Way teacher Carrie Grammetbauer added that juniors, their mentors, and the internship coordinators will be honored. Biomed students got white coats with their last names on them. Engineering students got hard hats, and computer programming kids got keyboards. According to oil field tradition, hard hats can't be worn until they are dirty, or at least looked used. So the students went outside to scuff them up before putting them on, math teacher Michael McMillan said. During the event, director Shannon Davidson announced the launch of a pathway to teaching program for next year. Carrie Grammetbauer, Project Lead the Way teacher at STEM, said the students will receive a STEM endorsement at graduation next year. STEM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. This is a recognition to be celebrated, Grammetbauer said. Our community partners have spent countless hours pouring into our students. Your commitment to the next generation is commendable, and we appreciate you so much. The experienced students get in their pathway classes help them choose their career path. In addition to experiences, students also learn valuable collaboration, communications, and problem-solving skills, Grammetbauer said. Nicole Olivas, a high school social studies teacher, talked about the importance of internships. She also received a gift for her dedication to the internship program. This program takes countless hours of networking, checking on, and coaching our students, Grammetbauer said. Olivas said internships are not just about earning credits and padding a resume. They let students apply what they learn in the classroom to actual work situations. They provide unique opportunities for students to immerse themselves in a professional environment, gain hands-on experience, and build valuable connections in their interests, Oliva said. They also help students develop essential skills, discover their passions, and give them a chance to network with professionals in their chosen field, potentially opening doors to future job opportunities. Students interned for a variety of employers around the city, such as City of Odessa, Odessa American Companies, and pharmacies. Students also spoke about their experience in their pathways. Mason Perkins spoke about biomed. Macy Jo Baker talked about engineering, and Quinn Boyer talked about computer programming. Davidson said the pathway celebration was a beautiful way to highlight the students' hard work and celebrate them going into their senior year. That fourth year can be a tough year, just so many demands on our seniors, but it's a good way to get them excited about all the possibilities coming and help them start thinking about their futures as well as their pathways. She added that the pathway celebration will likely become a yearly tradition. We used to embed it into our general awards ceremony, but it's such an important piece of who we are, we decided it needed its own celebration, Davidson said. The celebration is mostly for juniors, but there were a few seniors. She added that she thinks it will motivate them to keep going, and it meant to motivate younger students in 9th and 10th grade to see what's in store in later years. Before this celebration, we had the signing day celebration, and so it was a really good experience for our younger students to see how hard our seniors work at getting ready for their next steps after graduation, Davidson said.
Special Olympics Field Day unites special needs adults and students. Spectrum of Solutions and Midland Christian School partnered together on Friday to provide an Olympic-themed field day for special needs adults. Approximately 25 adult clients chose a buddy from a selection of Midland Christian students to complete various activities ranging from tic-tac-toe, a tug-of-rope competition, and other various obstacle courses. Elaine Paulson, the Development Director of Spectrum of Solutions, said her organization was excited to have their clients out and meet new friends within the community. Quote, "It's important to get them out in the community to have a more fulfilling life and to have more experiences," end quote, Paulson said in an interview during the event. Quote, "They love getting out and they love meeting new people," end quote. This is the fifth year of the Special Olympics event, which has partnered with Midland Christian School every year, but did take a brief pause during COVID. Quote, "We have made it a mission to bring back some more fun activities and partners in our community," end quote, Paulson said. Quote, "And you see the smiles on their faces. They are just having a good time," end quote. Tracy Lott, a high school instructor for Midland Christian, said the event is about serving the needs of the community. Quote, "We love to serve," end quote, she said of the event, which needed approximately 40 volunteers consisting of Midland Christian students. Quote, "We love to teach within those walls, and it's great to get to live it out," end quote, she commented as she helped one of her teams with the tug-of-war competition. Paulson added that her organization is looking for new partners within the community of Midland. Quote, "You can go online to www.spectrumofsolutions.org/volunteer/ and register there," end quote, she said. Quote, "You can also contact us if you have any ideas to partner in the community," end quote. Out and about. Cottery Club members hit the dance floor. Members of the Cottery Club of Midland danced the night away at the club's spring dance at the Petroleum Club recently. Upon arrival, guests enjoyed dining on a buffet that included beef tenderloin, meatballs, mashed potatoes, Gulf shrimp, wedge salad, fruit, veggies, and a dessert bar, featuring a variety of sliced pies, brownies, and cookies. Spring floral arrangements and hues of pink reflected beautifully into the mirrored charger it sat atop. After dinner, members hit the dance floor to the music of Current 9. Out and about, Haley Memorial Library celebrates new art exhibit. Encore, The Cowboy in Texas Art is now on display at the Haley Memorial Library and History Center. The exhibit kicked off with a cocktail reception that took place inside the library. Presenting the art on display was Michael Grauer, the McCaslin Chair of Cowboy Culture / Curator of the Cowboy Collections and Western Art for the National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum in Oklahoma City, and B. Byron Price, the retired director of the Charles M. Russell Center for the Study of the American West at the University of Oklahoma. The artwork was loaned for the exhibit from the collections of Panhandle Plains Historical Museum. Canyon, the San Antonio Art League, and Museum, J. Wayne Stark Gallery on the Texas A&M University campus, John L. No, III Collection of Texas Art, the collection of Billy and Ann Haley Mitchell, and the permanent collection of the Haley Memorial Library. The exhibit was able to be brought to Midland by the generosity of Cheryl Shull Cotner, Amy and Tim Leach, Billy and Ann Haley Mitchell, Shelley and Chip Smith, and Michelle Brock. The Haley Memorial Library is located at 1805 West Indiana Avenue and is open free to the public Monday through Friday. Midland College Board's Paul L. Morris retires. Paul L. Morris, Midland College Board of Trustees, Place 4, announced his retirement from the board effective Tuesday. Morris has served as a member of the Board of Trustees since January 2016. Quote, "It is with great pleasure that I have served on the MC Board of Trustees for over 8 years," end quote, Morris said. Quote, "I have enjoyed working with my fellow trustees and MC President Steve Thomas and Damon Kennedy. I wish the college continued success. With Dr. Kennedy's leadership and the sound guidance from my colleagues on the board, I know that Midland College will thrive and continue to be a cornerstone in the growth of the Midland community," end quote. Morris, his wife Dee, and their family arrived in Midland during the boom of 1981 when he became president and CEO of Banner Energy, Inc. In 1988, he transitioned to manager of oil and gas at Wagner & Brown, Ltd., and then was promoted to CEO in 1994. In 2013, Morris launched Elk River Resources with partner Ed Jones. He served as chairman and CEO of Elk River until he stepped down in 2019 to become a senior advisor to the board. During Morris's tenure as a member of the MC Board of Trustees, the college observed several instructional milestones, including leadership in the statewide Pathways Student Success Program, establishment of the College and Career Academies, and launch of the Texas A&M Engineering Academy at Midland College, just to name a few. Midland College also underwent several capital improvements and new construction that included the Cowden Dining Hall, the Midland College Pre-K Academy, and renovation of the Jack E. Brown Conference Hall. Quote, "Paul has been a tremendous leader on the Midland College Board of Trustees," end quote, MC President Dr. Damon Kennedy said. Quote, "As I transitioned into the role of college president, I have appreciated his counsel and calm demeanor. During the 8 years that Paul has served Midland College, he has been enthusiastic about the implementation of programs and services and has demonstrated extreme dedication to the work that we are doing for higher education and community outreach in Midland. I extend my deepest gratitude and thanks to Paul," end quote. Quote, "Midlanders should recognize and applaud the tremendous contributions Paul Morris has made to the advancement of MC during his years as a member of the Board of Trustees," end quote. Chair of the MC Board of Trustees, Steve Kaiser, noted. Quote, "Paul has been a terrific trustee. His wonderful leadership, wisdom, and vision have helped guide this college for years. He will be greatly missed," end quote. The board will appoint someone at its May 21st regular monthly meeting to fulfill Morris's term on the board through December 31st, 2024.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, May 13th. Weekend crashes take two lives in Andrews County. Two separate crashes have taken the lives of two men in Andrews County in recent days. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, Julio Cesar Torres, age 29, of Edinburgh, was traveling east on State Highway 176 in a Cadillac Escalade Friday morning when the caddy veered off the roadway. Torres took faulty, evasive action and overcorrected back onto the roadway, causing the caddy to side-skid into westbound traffic. It was then struck by a GMC Sierra being driven by a 67-year-old Andrews man. Torres, who wasn't wearing a seatbelt, was pronounced dead at the scene. The other driver, who was wearing a seatbelt, was taken to University Medical Center in Lubbock in serious condition. The crash remains under investigation. According to the DPS, Odessa resident Ezekiel David Roman, age 29, was traveling east on State Highway 115 in a Jeep Wrangler when it veered south off the roadway around 1:40 p.m. Sunday. Roman took faulty evasive action and overcorrected back north, causing the Jeep to side-skid, cut into a north barrow ditch, hit a fence, and rolled, DPS stated. Roman, who was not wearing a seatbelt, was thrown from the vehicle. The crash remains under investigation. Thompson wants to use ODC sales tax money to address water lines and roads. Last week, Odessa City Councilman Steve Thompson, upset about water line breaks and boil water notices, decided he wanted to pitch an idea to his fellow city council members. Why not use sales tax money that's been sent to the Odessa Development Corporation to address the city's many infrastructure needs? He didn't know there would be yet another boil water notice issued Saturday. Crews were trying to fix a busted water line near 42nd and Dawn Saturday when the water pressure dropped below 20 psi. As a result, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality required the city to issue a 24-hour boil notice. As for Thompson's idea, it's on Tuesday's City Council work session agenda for discussion. In an interview that took place just hours before the boil water notice, Thompson said city crews actually discovered 12 broken water valves during a recent water line break. Those valves are used to shut off water on both sides of a break so they can work on repairs and limit the number of people who are being inconvenienced. With so many useless valves, water line breaks, the troubles at the Darrington plant, and so many bad roads, Thompson said he thinks it's time the city float some revenue bonds to fund infrastructure projects using sales tax revenue collected and given to the Odessa Development Corporation. Quote, "We don't have all of the money to do that stuff, and when you look at the financials, they've got a huge reserve," Thompson said. "What they have committed versus what they have in the bank is negligible. So there's just not any reason to not leverage that, in my opinion," end quote. The ODC predicted it would receive $12 million in sales tax revenue this year, but the city has already brought in $7 million in the first 3 months, Thompson said. They also get $1.5 million annually in interest earnings. Materials provided to the council show ODC's ending balance in February was $80 million. Thompson has argued for years the money collected by ODC can be used for such projects because roads, water lines, and sewer lines are directly tied to bringing businesses into Odessa. Others, including ODC President Chris Crow and Vice President Jeff Russell, however, have disagreed with him. According to materials provided to the council, Jeff Moore, an attorney with Brown and Hoffmeister, told City Attorney Dan Jones in an email, Thompson is correct. Quote, "I've checked it, double-checked it, and rechecked it. City Attorney Jeff Moore, ODC attorney, and everybody's on the same spot. Yes, you can spend it on infrastructure," Thompson said. Those 12 broken water valves also prompted City Manager John Beckmeyer to come up with an idea. On Tuesday, he plans to ask the City Council to approve the creation of a crew whose sole task would be to locate, uncover, and perform maintenance on all of the city's water and sewer line valves. On Facebook Saturday, Mayor Javier Hoven said crews stopped testing valves 15 years ago. Quote, "It's just decades of neglect and lack of investment into infrastructure," Hoven said on Facebook. The Bob Darrington Water Reclamation Plant, sewer lines, and term limits are also scheduled to be discussed by the Odessa City Council Tuesday. During its work session at 3 p.m., the Council is expected to hear recommendations from two different companies about what to do about the badly deteriorating wastewater treatment plant. Johnson Controls and Performance Services are both slated to speak with the Council. It'll be the second time Council members will hear from Performance Services. Back in December, Business Development Manager Janet Shadowitz said various components of the plant were at the end of their useful life and there was a lack of redundancy in some areas of the plant, meaning if something were to go wrong there, the city would have no backup. She also noted maintenance on the water lines hasn't been done for decades, she said. Quote, "There is no way the stuff just appeared overnight. It's stuff that's been building for decades at this point," Shadowitz said at another point. The TCEQ has written the city up for violations, but no fines have been imposed, Utilities Director Kevin Niles said at the time. A major sewer line will also be discussed during the work session. According to materials provided to the Council by Niles, there is a 24-inch ductile iron pipe in the 3200 block of West 2nd Street that is leaking and at high risk of complete failure. Because there is an extremely urgent need to replace the sewer line, Niles wants to skip the bid process and award a contract to Corolo Engineers to design the project and remove and replace 1,000 or more linear feet of the line. The estimated cost is $375,000 and will take about 7 months. Also on Tuesday, Hoven wants to talk about amending the city charter to limit the total amount of time one person can serve on the council in any capacity is 12 years. Right now, someone can serve 8 years as a council member plus 8 years as mayor. He also wants to discuss whether service prior to the 2024 general election would be counted. The council is expected to meet in executive session with Niles, City Attorney Dan Jones, and employees of the Utilities Department about security concerns. They'll also discuss giving Municipal Court Judge Keith Kidd a raise during executive session. School Board to hear presentation on Grow Odessa land donation. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees will hear a special presentation on the Grow Odessa land donation for a new career and technical education center at their workshop scheduled for 6 p.m. May 14th. The meeting will be in the first floor boardroom of the administration building at 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. Grow Odessa has donated almost 40 acres near the corner of Murphy Street and South Meadow Avenue to the district. During his media call May 8th, Superintendent Scott Murray said the Career and Technical Education Committee has spent the last several months working with PBK, the architect selected for the project, to determine what it's going to look like and what's going to be included in it. Quote, "Work is well underway as we think about the design of that new building," Murray said. "We thank the 28 members of that Career and Technical Education Committee that are working diligently to put that design in place. Exciting things are happening in the bond," he added. Those interested in following the progress of the bond projects can visit ecisdbond.com, where they will find images of the bond projects, a complete list of projects, and the dollars associated with each one. On November 7, 2023, voters approved one proposition of three propositions and a $436 million bond. Proposition 1, which included a new CTE center, was for $424 million. Along with the Career and Technical Education Center, It included a new middle school in West Odessa, district-wide maintenance and repairs, buses, and a new transportation facility, technology and fine arts updates, a new transition learning center, and agriculture farm and other projects. The board will also hear presentations on a comprehensive coaching model analysis with Hector County ISD and Texas Tech University, a humanities update, and a technology update. EPA official previews draconian restrictions here. Regional Administrator Nance holds roundtable with Pfluger, Landgraf, Sparks, and others Friday. The story was written by Bob Campbell. Hosting U.S. Environmental Protection Agency Region 6 Administrator Earthia Nance of Dallas at a roundtable discussion Friday in Midland, Congressman August Pfluger said afterward that Nance's plan to declare the Permian Basin an ozone non-attainment area would be a serious impediment to the region's energy industry. Quote, "I had urged Dr. Nance to visit the region to hear from industry and community leaders who would be impacted by a redesignation," Pfluger, a San Angelo Republican who represents the basin, said Saturday. Quote, "The EPA's threat to redesignate the Permian Basin as a non-attainment area for ozone is a move that would severely hamper oil and gas production in the region," end quote. Nance and the congressman were joined at the noon meeting in Chase Bank Building in downtown Midland by State Representative Brooks Landgraf of Odessa, State Senator Kevin Sparks, Midland Mayor Lori Blong, and numerous area energy producers and stakeholders. Quote, "Permian Basin energy producers continue to reduce emissions while increasing production to fuel our country and decrease our allies' reliance on energy from foreign adversaries," Pfluger said. "The redesignation of an ozone non-attainment area would harm our economy, stifle innovation, and steal the livelihoods of the hardworking men and women of our community." This visit was a crucial step in letting the world know that the Permian Basin fuels the world, end quote. Nance said she appreciated Pfluger's invitation to visit the basin, see an oil and gas production site, and speak with stakeholders. Quote, "As regional administrator, I have made it a priority to meet with as many communities as possible and hear their concerns to ensure that everyone benefits from Clean Air Act protections," Nance said. "My staff and I are committed to continuing our work with Congressman Pfluger, the state of Texas, regulated industry, and community stakeholders as we consider how best to do this in the Permian Basin." It's especially fitting that this visit took place during the same week that the new methane rule went into effect, benefiting the people living and working here in the Permian Basin and throughout our country. "The rule will sharply reduce methane and other harmful air pollutants from the oil and natural gas industry, promote the use of cutting-edge methane detection technologies, and deliver significant economic and public health benefits," end quote.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.